I want to say, and as we start here, that that's a pretty bold prayer when we ask for the presence of God to fall. I think we need to know. I don't want to live without His presence. I know Moses, when he was moving forward, he said, "Hey, unless Your presence go, I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be this. I don't want anything. I don't want to be Your leader or do Your stuff or what. If You aren't with us." If Your presence not there. And I think as Christians today, we need to be more aware of the presence of the living God in life. I'm going to talk about it just in a moment here, but this idea of calling on the presence of God, because when God shows up, all sorts of other things have to leave, right? And all sorts of things start to change. But I'll tell you what, when God shows up, it's the most wonderful, awesome, and precious place you could ever be is in the very midst of His presence, allowing Him to move upon you, to touch you, to care for you, to love you, to guide you, to lead you, and to change you. We're in the middle of a series here. We're talking about Jesus is. We went back to Mark 8:29 when Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And all of us need to answer that question personally. Who is Jesus to you? But who is Jesus accurately to you? What does the scripture say that Jesus is? And are you applying that to your life? It's not just who do you say He is. Is He that? Is He that? I can say a lot of stuff, but that to make it true means I have to be walking out on what I'm saying. You can't just say it. You have to do it as well. We talked about who is Jesus. And Jesus is, we talked about the Word, the Creator, life, light, grace, truth, salvation. Last week we talked about Him being our high priest and the two goats that were sacrificed. He fulfilled both those aspects, took the wrath of God, and then took our sins and took it as far away as the east is from the west. He satisfied the wrath of God, and He took our judgment and caused our sins to be literally taken away from us forever and for good. We also realize we have a high priest who sympathizes with us, who understands what it's like to be tempted, who understands when you're going through something. He's not up there pointing His finger at you going, "What's the matter with you?" He's going, "I know, I relate, I've been there, I know what it feels like." And then He says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace. I am going to help you in the process, but you have to come in order to receive the help." We also talked about Him being the bread of life. Today I want to talk about Jesus as our advocate. Jesus as our advocate. Please stand. We're going to read from 1 John our text this morning, at least a portion of our text this morning. "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the whole world." Wow. What a God. You may be seated. I love this portion of scripture. And as we get into this, I want to go back, and we're going to go back a couple of scriptures. I know that's our main one about Him being an advocate, but I want to start in 1 John 1:5, and we're going to kind of unpack this a little bit and take a look at it. And then we're going to talk about the antithesis of what I'm going to talk about today. And we're going to try to bring this together and something that we can walk away with today. In verse 5, "This is the message which we have heard from Him." Thank you. My notes, I had everything circled and stuff. I couldn't even read what I wrote here. "This is the message which we have heard from Him," Jesus, "and declare to you that," say it with me, "God is light, and in Him is at all." Got to add that last word. No darkness at all. Not even a little bit. No. None. No darkness. Not even a little bit. He is light. He is open. He is honest. He is transparent. There is nothing hidden. There's nothing deceptive. Nothing deceitful. Nothing questionable. Nothing wrong at all with who He is. He's just pure, wholesome goodness. Pure, wholesome goodness. Goodness. It's interesting that a lot of times when people talk about their near-death experience, there seems to be a light in there somewhere, doesn't it? I saw the light at the end of the tunnel, or there's this bright light, or we always come with this concept about light. And I wonder if it's because also he says God is light. So coming face to face, if you will, with the divine, with God himself. And as they try to analyze or figure that out, they conceptualize it with this light that they're seeing. It's light. And I appreciate it. It's amazing. From the very start, I think, in our opening, they had a thing about a darkness and light. And in our song today, we had that. And I thought it was interesting. I don't know if anybody knew all the notes that I was speaking about, but there's this aspect of light and darkness. This aspect of light and darkness. And I want to go through here as we start. And again, this is just a preamble here. There's six key ifs in this next number of passage, the next couple of verses. Six positives, six negatives. I'm going to start with a negative and a positive, a negative and a positive, a negative and a positive with these ifs. And so I just want to go through them with you. First of all, it says, if we say we have fellowship or relationship with God and walk in darkness, what happens? We lie. All I could think about was Lily. Not that Lily lies. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that whenever she's working on a program or a computer thing and all that stuff and it doesn't work, you go, you lie, you lie, you lie, you lie. And then she's working on it, you lie. And then all of a sudden the truth comes and she fixes it and it's awesome. I don't know how she does it, but it's great. She's amazing. She's amazing. If we say we have fellowship, relationship with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. I just thought it interesting about this concept of darkness. Darkness. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit more, but I think one of the things that's destroying us as a nation is darkness. It's destroying us, the darkness, the enemy, the cloud that hangs over. There's not a true light shining. And because there's so much darkness, this darkness is causing us, I think, as a nation, to not go in the right direction. Morally, socially, economic, just every aspect. We can say, well, the economy's good. Well, what is good? What is good so we can buy stuff? Or is it good at the very foundation? What is good? You can't walk in darkness and light at the same time. Light and darkness don't coexist. It's either one or the other. You can walk in the light of the Lord and then you can do something in darkness, but you can't have both of those at the same time. You're in darkness and then, okay, I'm walking in light. I'm walking in light. I'm feeling the presence of the Lord. All of a sudden I'm doing something. I'm moving out into the dark areas of life. This aspect of darkness, I think, is really, really huge, and that there's a person behind this darkness and that there's somebody trying to ruin your life. Because I don't think we understand well enough. I want to talk about, as we get through here, this advocate. But we also need to realize we have an adversary as well. We have an advocate. We have an adversary. We have light. We have darkness. And it seems like a lot that darkness is prevailing. But light is supposed to displace the darkness. It's supposed to displace the darkness. If you want to walk with God, you can't walk in darkness. I think about, as I said, darkness and a lot of dark things out there. I remember when I was in a fraternity at University of Idaho. I came here on a football scholarship, played football at University of Idaho, was a civil engineering student in a fraternity. And that first year that I was there, I wasn't really walking with the Lord. I knew about the Lord. The new stuff was there, trying to be quote unquote good or whatever, but I didn't have any alive, dynamic relationship with the Lord. And I remember one night, the guy said, "Hey, we're running this movie downstairs. You ought to come down." And I go, I'm studying. Thought I'd take a study break. Came down for the movie. When I came down for the movie, it was not a good movie. It was a horrific movie. It was a horrible movie. It was something I'd never seen before in my entire life up until that point. When I came down to that movie and I saw there were so many things that were going through my mind, my body, everything, and I was going, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be here. And then I was afraid of what my friends would think in the house there. I thinking, But if I leave, they'll call me something. They'll laugh at me. And I remember this dark feeling down there. I just felt dark. It was just like darkness came and I could feel the light just gone of whatever little light I had. And this darkness was prevailing. And after a few minutes down there, my flesh was responding to one thing. My spirit was trying to respond to something else, as little as what it knew. But I was under such feeling of, I hate this, that I finally got up and I walked out. I walked out and went back upstairs and I just wanted to wash my hands and I felt horrible. I started to realize, you know, that was about 24 years ago. That was over 40 years ago. 40 years ago. And today, the enemy didn't get stupider. The enemy got wiser. And I look at the darkness that's out there in so many areas that go into the dark. And the enemy is kicking us around. I look at this aspect of the pornography that's infiltrating our country by leaps and bounds. Do you realize that when you look at pornography, if you took Microsoft, Google, Apple, all the 10 top companies in the world, the pornographic industry is greater than all of those businesses combined. More than those combined. When I look at the issue of how men are treating our women in our society today, that's horrific and horrible. I can't help but look at the aspect of what this industry is doing in the minds and hearts of men and women across the world. We're wondering, why is that happening? Because darkness is prevailing. And what we need is light. What we need is light. I'm going to do a series of the first part of the year here about, I think I'm going to title it, It's Time to Fight the Battle. Good. We're going to talk about this issue. And again, I handle it very sensibly. I'm not condemning anybody. Listen, the enemy's crafty and I hate him, but he's messing us all up. And I want to bring compassion and help as we continue to face this battle. I think about David. He should have been out fighting a battle, but he wasn't. And it's time for us to fight the battle and to win it. I want to bring light into the house, into this world, in the midst of darkness. And I know that it's difficult. And I commend all of the men and women out there that are struggling but are fighting through this. I commend you. I know it's a difficult fight. I know it's very, very difficult. We don't look at you, look down our nose at anybody and shame anybody. I commend and applaud people who are moving through this with dignity and grace, seeking the Lord, trying to move out of this addiction or hurtful thing that's kind of got them. And the enemy is just laughing the whole way as he's trying to strangle people. But I believe that the light needs to come in the midst of darkness to bring us the freedom that we need. God's light shines on the darkness to expose it and to eradicate it. We need more light in the world. We need more light in the world. When we ask for the presence of God to come, guess what He brings? He brings light. He brings the light. He is the light. Lord, fall upon us. His light is going to come. And when His light comes, it's going to dispel the darkness. It's going to move it out. We need the light. We need the light. We need more of the light. I remember I was doing a funeral for a friend of mine who it was their parent who had died. I didn't know their parent at all. They didn't have anybody else to the funeral. So I went down to Lewiston and I did this funeral. And so I didn't know the person, so I asked him, okay, give me some thoughts about him so I can write it down and have a nice funeral, right? You can say some nice things about him. So I get down there, and I think it was at the vet center or something like that, and I get down there, and you know, and it's my turn to go up there, and so I get up there and I put my notes down, you know, and I talk for a few moments like I do, kind of great eye contact and all of that. And then I went to look down at my notes. Could not make them out. It was so dark in the room, and it was dark above there, I literally could not make them out. I had to go like this to read them. Now, that was difficult, because I didn't want to go like that to read them, but I don't know this person. So when I say, you know, blah, 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 was such a... I don't know what he was. It was very embarrassing to me. But I realized one thing. Have you noticed that when you can't read something, you put more and more and more light on it, and all of a sudden, I can make it out. It makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. That which was confusing, that's what I couldn't read, now makes sense to me. Do you understand that when the Holy Spirit comes, what He wants to do when He brings His light, He's trying to get us to make sense of things in life that are confusing to us right now. Or that we see it a certain way. We believed a lie. We believe what the devil has said. And when all of a sudden we believe it's this way and I'm just stuck here and this is what my life is going to be and I just got to grab for all the gusto I can. But when the light comes, we start reading things differently. The light shines. The light shines in the darkness. Oh God, shine your light on us. Oh God, shine your light into my life, that I might walk in your light. We need the light. We need the light. We need the light. The second one. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I love this. If we walk, this is the positive side. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. It's amazing that when we start walking in the dark, we get more alone. We get more alone in what we do. We become just by ourselves. We become isolated. All we need is me, my computer, my phone, my this. I don't need people. I just got social media. I got this. I'll chat. We become more alone and isolated. But the more that we walk in the light, the more we enjoy the fellowship and relationship of everyone else. When you walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. If you walk in the light, you have fellowship with one another. And we're going to talk about it at the very end here. We got small groups, and I encourage you, get in a small group. Well, I don't want to get a small group. Shh. Don't say that. Get in a small group. Try it. You might like it. Get in one. Sign up for one. Get involved in one. Bring something to it. Bring something from your life, your value into that group. And watch what happens. We need to do life together. So I encourage you at the end of this, sign up for a small group. Try it out. We need one another. If not, darkness more easily engulfs us. Number three, here's the negative again. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The devil's specialty is really deceiving you. And the truth is not in us. What's going on here? If we say we have no sin, if we're saying, I'm just this perfect person, my life is going great, I don't need any help, I don't need nothing, I'm just a wonderful guy. I had one person bragging about the fact, yeah, I haven't asked to have to ask God forgive me for something for years. I'm going, there better be a bigger glow in your life than right now. You know, you better be like Gwendolyn and float through the air or something here. Was that, who was that? Is that the... I don't know what I'm talking about. Who was in the Wizard of Oz? Who was the... Glenda, yeah, whatever her name was. That lady. Sorry. My wife's going to talk to me later and say, that was not a good point, Phil. Sometimes they come out good, sometimes not so good. Okay. Where are we? I think I'm deceiving myself somewhere here. If we say we have no sin, if we say, I don't need to repent, I don't need that, I'm doing okay. If we don't understand that, hey, we don't just need to repent yearly, daily, hourly, minutely, secondly. We need to be repenting every day of stuff. We need to allow the light to shine, because if it's not, if you're going, hey, guess what? I haven't had to repent of anything for long. And you might look and see how light it is outside your neck of the woods. If you think, if you don't think you sin, you're in deception. You're in deception. Number four, this is the positive again. If we confess our sins, here's the positive again. Acknowledge, instead of hiding the fact that we have not sinned. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow, what a great deal. If we simply bring our sins to Him, He'll cleanse us from everything. He'll wipe us squeaky clean. I love that. When your heart is squeaky clean. I remember when I gave my life to Christ and He forgave me of all my sins and I could go, it was squeaky clean. And it's awesome. I mean, you know what? If you get a little dirt on it, if something happens, you walk through life and sin, you fall into some mud puddles. Football's on my mind. Seahawks are playing at one something. Then we can go back to Him and confess. And what does He do? Condemn us? Shame us? He goes, He takes it away. He cleanses it from all unrighteousness. Wow. Deal with the faults you have. Don't let them linger. If you acknowledge and confess your sins, God forgives you. Number five, the negative here in this scripture. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and the word is not in us. He's saying again that we're not allowing this word to examine us if we think that we're just such hot stuff. We need to realize that God is working on us and He wants to change us, and there's some things we need to bring to the light, bring before this and have it examine us. We need them. We need them. If you don't think you have sinned, you're lying. You're lying to God. And most importantly, you're lying to yourself. We're lying to ourselves. But then number six here, this is our scripture for today. If anyone sins, we have an advocate. Or excuse me, my little children, these things I'll write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world. That propitiation, He appeased the wrath of God. We have an advocate. Don't we all want an advocate somewhere? Don't we all want someone who thinks you're awesome? Don't we all want someone who will speak on your behalf? Who will be a character witness for you? Who will talk you up? Who will choose you? Defend you? Want you? He's the one who picks you on the team first. Are you going, I don't play very well. I want you on my team first. I don't play very well. I know, but I just like you. Wow. He picks us. He chooses us. He stands up for us. He stands in the gap for us. He takes it on the chin for us. Hey, but look what I know. But you know, I went to the cross. I paid for that. I died for that. I set Him free. We have an advocate speaking on our behalf before the Lord, before God. Jesus is not justifying your sin to the Father. He's reminding the Father that the sin has been dealt with and paid for by His death on the cross. And literally it doesn't exist anymore. As far as the East is from the West, never to be remembered, it's like it doesn't exist anymore. Justified, just as if I'd never done it. That's an amazing concept. That you are now, owe no debt. You're free. Your sin is gone. It's you're blameless. You're squeaky clean. Why? Because we have an advocate who speaks on our behalf. The word advocate, one who pleads the cause of another, a person who prevails on someone else's behalf. In the Greek, the word advocate is the word paraclete. We also know that's the word for the Holy Spirit, right? This paraclete, this advocate, means an intercessor or a consoler. One who consoles you. One who, a consoler is one who alleviates or lessens the grief or sorrow or disappointment of, to give you solace or comfort. You know, when we go through the world, there's so many things that grieve us and that hurt us and they're painful and there's nothing we can do about it. They're not even sin issues. But the things about other people and pains that are out there, and yet we have this advocate who is consoling us. He's putting his arm around us. He's saying it's going to be okay. I'm going to be with you. We're going to make it. It's going to be okay. He's our intercessor, it says here. He intervenes on the behalf, especially in prayer. In Hebrews 7:25, it says, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost, entirely, completely, those who come to God through him, since he always lives. He's talking about Jesus. He always lives, our advocate, always lives to make intercession for us. He's always talking. He's always praying. He's always moving on your behalf. 24/7, 365. He's always speaking positive about you. He's always defending you before the Father. He's always talking positive about you. Do you understand who we have? This advocate? Wow. He's amazing. He's amazing. Always defending, always thinking, always reminding God that he paid for our offenses. He will continue until we firmly plant our feet in heaven. Can you imagine an advocate? When I think about an advocate, I kind of go to a courtroom. You got this advocate, you know, this lawyer that's there for you, and you're in a court of law and you're facing the judge and your lawyer. You're kind of figuring out how you're going to defend yourself and what are we going to do here. And so he's defending you and he's going to go up to the judge and he's going to talk about this whole deal. What if your lawyer was not just the lawyer there? What if your lawyer was the judge? And the judge comes down and he talks to you and says, listen, now if I were you, here's how I would present your case. I would say bump, 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 bump. And if the judge says bump, bump, then I would say bump, 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 and then bump, bump, and bump. That's what I would do if I were you. Okay? I mean, the judge himself is telling you how you're to be defended. That's crazy. That's like getting the answer key before a test, isn't it? I remember in physical geology, I was a civil engineering student at the University of Idaho. We had this physical geology class. I had all these other engineering classes. So I was just taking physical geology just to take it, because you had to take it, right? So I take it, get done with it. I got a B in the class. The teacher says, hey, you can take the final. It won't hurt you. But you don't have to take it. You can take whatever grade you have. And so I went to him and I said, hey, I know I have a B in the class. And so I'm thinking about not taking the final. So I just want, you know, I'm not going to take the final. He looked at me and said, do you know it won't hurt your grade? I said, yeah, okay, it won't hurt my grade. He goes, if I were you, I would take the final. And I go, but I don't have time to study. I got all these other classes. He goes, if I were you, I would study your old tests. And kind of a little wink. And I'm going, what did that mean? I would study the old test. I go, okay, gosh. So I went home. Took the three tests that we had taken. I just memorized the three tests. I didn't study nothing else. Went through the three tests. Spent an hour. Went into the class. Guess what the test was? Every question was off the other three tests. Every single question. You know what it's like taking a test? You're going, I know that one. And you're realizing as you get through the first four or five, I know how this is going to go. And I was the happiest test taker in my entire life. I'm going, bring on the next question. I can hardly wait to see what he's going to say next. So I just bam, 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 all the way through the test, turned it in, got an A in that class in physical geology. I now know what a strike dip fault is and what granite is. I'm saying there's something amazing about walking through life and taking tests when you got the answer key following you. You got the answer key following you in this test in your life. Hey, I wonder if I should do that. I think you'll fail if you go that way. Oh, okay, I'm not going to go that way. We have an advocate. We have a person with all of the answers. He is following you.
He is loving you. He is caring about you. And when you do mess up and go the wrong way, he's saying, hey, get back up. Get back up. He dusts you off. He gets the mud off of you. Here, let me see your shoe. Get the mud off your feet there. Let me just get that off there. Put that back on. All right, you're looking good, looking spruce. All right, he's good. Get back in the game. I'm just saying, we have an amazing God. We have an amazing God who's not condemning you, mad at you, ticked off at you, mad you made the wrong decision. He understands. And he's here to help you at every point of the game, bringing you the answer key as to what you should do. And allowing the light of his presence to fall upon you. An advocate. An advocate. You have an advocate. But you also have an adversary. You have an adversary. We learn about this adversary in Revelations 12, 9 through 11. Now, Revelation's talking about the end of time, right? So we're going to see the end of time. We're going to see what's going to happen to this person. But it's going to give us a clue of what he's been doing all this time. What you've been doing? Adversary? Let's read. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. That's his job description. Understand that. What's your job description? My job is to deceive everybody that I see. Get them to think that that's that and that's not that and pull the rug out from under them. Get them right there to the end and just make them fall. That's my job. Trip them up, mess them up, entrap. That's my job. I got to deceive them. I got to make them even think that they're doing good when they're not doing good. The word deceives means to cause to roam, or to roam from safety, to roam from truth, to roam from virtue. It means fraudulence, a strain from orthodoxy or piety. It's this wandering. It's this wandering. Again, it's this getting away. Kind of wandering away. Do you know where the wolf packs, what they go after? They don't go after the herd. They go after the one that's sickling off to the side. They're going after the one. They're going to try to get the one by himself. That's exactly what the devil does. He gets you. He gets your mind thinking the wrong direction. He gets you going in a path you shouldn't be going. He presents facts and figures to you that you can, okay, whatever, or yeah, and she'll what? She'll be my, okay, well, I'll be popular. Okay, I'll make lots of, wrong. He says this. He's here to deceive you. It's his job. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. Hallelujah. What a great time. Now we find out what he's doing. For the accuser of our brethren. Another job description. He loves to snitch on you. He loves to accuse you. He loves to tell you about how bad you are. Who accused them before our God day and night. What's he doing right now? He's before the Lord day and night accusing us of being filthy, miserable sinners. Has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death. Hallelujah for that. But my point is that we have an adversary. We have an adversary. You know that the word Satan? Satan in the Greek means the accuser. It means the accuser, the devil, our adversary. Adversary, one that contends, opposes, or resists. He's an enemy or an opponent. There's an adversary against you, and most people are oblivious to what he's doing. Most people are oblivious to what he's doing. Do you remember, some of you will not remember this. This section over here will not remember this. But back in about the 60s. there was a commercial about these Tootsie Roll Pops. Who wants a Tootsie Roll Pop, by the way? Anybody want one? Oh, you want one? Is that the wrong color? What color do you want? I got to give my wife the right color. You want red? You get red. You want all the reds? Okay, I want you to know you're my all in all. Oh, the other red. Okay, pick the red you want, hon. Okay. You're just like all those kids that go out there. My gosh, they're always digging. I want that one down. I want that one down there. Who else wants it? Who else wants one? Here's one. Okay, here's what I need, though. I need somebody to do a test for me. What was the test? How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop? The world will never know. I need some people who will start licking right now. All right, Dad, you got to start licking right now, okay? All right, who's going to lick for me? I mean, I need you to do a test. I want to know how. You got to count them. I want you to count them. I need you to count them. Over here, count them. I need you to count them. At least a couple of you need to count. Who's going to count for me? Raise your hand if you're going to count. All right. Who over here? A lot of people going, I don't want one. He's going to kill me with it. All right. There's some. Oh, there's a bunch over there. Who over here would like to count? Who would like to? Oh, you would like to lick? Okay. There you go. All right. Who wants to lick over here? All right. There's a couple other folks over there. Anybody else? We have some lickers over there. Oh, whoops. That wasn't a very good shot. There's some lickers over there. Anybody over here? Yes, we have some. Yeah. You're always a double popsicle taker or pop taker. Okay. Who else? Who else? Who else over here? Oh, look at this. All right. I want to know how long it takes you. Okay. All right. Who else? Over here. Who else wants one? Over there. Over there. Who else? Over here. Who else? Everybody likes these little suckers. Okay, some over there. Oh, whoa, whoa. Okay, you're just going to eat it. You're not going to count. Okay, I need some counters. Who's going to count? Who's going to? Oh, we're done. We're over. All right. So start it now. Open it up. Hey, count. You got to go la, 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 la. You can't lick it like for 40 minutes and go, ah, it's one lick. Count. You got to count. And then concentrate on the message as well. So you got to count and concentrate. This is multitask. All the women over here can. You men, you're stuck. You're not going to hear the rest of the message. Pick up the video afterwards. Okay, get on your phones. All right? Here's the cartoon or the commercial. Here we go. Start licking. He's at 138.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?
Come on, kid. Bite it.
Bite it.
Oh, no. Just think. If you lick it all the way through to the center, you'll be the first one ever to do it. Listen, pal. Just think of that chewy, delicious Tootsie Roll center.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Bite it. No, no. Anything worth having is worth waiting for.
Good point.
Don't listen to him, kid. You'll get a charm horse in your tongue. You'll be a hero. You'll be a sucker.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop? The world may never know.
Now, for you lickers out there, I want all of it exposed, all of the thing, not just when you get to the start of it. I want to just get it all gone, okay? So, just so you know, there are some lickers that were out there online. 271 person did it in, and 1020 another person did it in, so I don't understand, you know, there's no barometer for exactly a standard for what a lick looks like. Here's my point. We have an adversary. We have an advocate. Although that's a very funny little commercial there, there is some reality to that. Not that we have this little horn thing inside of us or this little angel, but there's an advocate and there's a real devil. And there's a real devil wanting you to take a bite of it. Take a bite of the apple. Take a bite of it. Take a bite of it. Take a bite of it. Click on it. Bite it. Take it. Steal it. It's yours. You deserve it. There's another advocate on your side who's saying, hey, good things are worth the wait. Good things are worth the wait because that's what makes them good, is that you waited. There's this aspect of instead of, hey, I want it now. I want to bite it. Bite it. Hey, sucker. Don't be a sucker, sucker. The enemy doesn't, he tempts us with so much junk out there. Just bite it. Just bite it. Just bite it. He's real. He's a real adversary whose whole goal is to be against you and your walk with the Lord. He will do anything, anytime, anywhere, anyhow he can to destroy you. He will cheat you, use you, and lie to you. And he does not play fair. He's very dirty. When you go, but I thought you... He doesn't have to abide by any rules. He cheats. He lies. He deceives. He takes what's good and he makes it awful. He takes the purity of life and tries to soil it all up. But there's something when the light comes and we have an advocate who will wash us clean and we get to enjoy a life in the midst of the light. We have an advocate who's on our behalf, speaking to us to walk rightly and keeping us in the light. We got us and the Lord over here, the devil over here just speaking. The Lord over here is speaking to his Father and saying, hey, I died for that. The devil over here is speaking to the Father and he's saying, he's a dirty, rotten, filthy, miserable sinner. And you know, the devil doesn't just speak to the Lord. He also speaks to you. Because here's the thing. Here's a crazy thing, a crafty thing about the devil. At first, he wants you to feel like everything's great. Oh, you're awesome. It's okay. Don't worry. No, no, no. What you're doing is great. What you're doing is awesome. It's great. You know, go out and grab the gusto. Do that. You can have all this sin. You can have all this pleasure. Just go get it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's fine. It's great. No, it doesn't matter. You know, the whole world says it's all okay. It's, you know, I mean, he's encouraging you on and just, it's all good. It's all, he loves you. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I just love you, man. You're just, and then, if for some reason we start to feel, hey, maybe this isn't right, and we start to walk, then he starts to condemn you. Yeah, you are rotten. I can't believe you did that. You filthy, miserable creep. How could you, and he flips. Because he starts people all the time praising them and encouraging them, and yeah, that's the way, and yeah, be your own person, and yeah, get all you want. And then he flips it and he tells you, what a creep you are. How awful you are. I hate him. I hate the devil. I hate him so much. Who do you listen to? Do you even know who's speaking to you? He masquerades as an angel of light, right? Yeah. We must learn to discern the voice of God from the noise of the world. And as we close, I want to leave you with this last scripture. Because there's a very real God and there's a very real devil, you need to be aware. There's an advocate and there's an adversary. And how do you beat the devil? How do you beat him? It's found in 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your, say it with me, adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. I think he gives us 4 points right here. What do you do? Be sober. It's the Greek word nepho. It means abstain from wine. Keep sober. Be discreet. He's saying, hey, you know, stay sober. Don't be drunk. So much bad stuff happens to drunk people. To wasted people. We joke about it. Hey, I got wasted last night. Why would you want to get wasted? Why would you want to be a waste? You know what you do with waste? You throw it in the garbage. You take, and we throw our waste and we put it in the garbage. Why would we take pride in the fact I got wasted? Oh, they put you in the garbage? Oh no, I don't know what they did. I'm saying we have a community, we have a campus that revels in the idea of just getting wasted. And the devil just swoops in on that. Be sober. You need to have a clear mind to defeat him. Number two, be vigilant. It means to keep awake, to watch. Because as soon as you sleep, you're going to find out he lulled you to sleep and you're going in the wrong direction. You need to be on the watch. Keep guard of your mind and heart. Keep guard of your mind and heart. Keep guard of what goes into your mind and goes what goes into your heart. The Lord, our advocate, needs to be at the seat of our mind and the seat of our heart, and everything should pass through that. And if for some reason it can't pass the test of the Lord saying, yeah, come into his mind, then maybe you shouldn't put it in there. Or, hey, maybe you shouldn't put this into your heart. Number three, resist him. Resist him. It means to stand against, to oppose. It means to fight. I'm fighting. I'm fighting a battle. I'm going to win. I'm not just rolling over and playing dead. I'm fighting. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. We're fighting against the enemy, but we got to fight. Stand up and fight. Say no. Regardless what someone else will think. Number four, finally, be steadfast in the faith. That word steadfast means stiff, solid, stable in your religious convictions. My convictions don't bend. It doesn't matter who I'm with, what group. Oh, you wanna? I can't do that. Oh, why? Can't do that. But come on, can't do that. Have some pluck, some fortitude that can stand up. You know, people respect people who will stand up. Stand up for what you believe, regardless of the costs. Don't go with the crowd. Go with God. Don't sneak into the darkness. Stand in the light. Satan accuses and deceives us as our adversary, but Jesus is interceding and defending for us as our advocate. Satan will accuse, abuse, misuse, and confuse you, but Jesus will infuse you into the things of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you're an amazing God and you love us so much. Just pray that you would help us to walk in the light. Help me, Lord, to walk in the light. I want to walk stronger in your light, stronger in your presence, stronger in the call of God. Lord, help us to take a stand with honor, with dignity, but not by ourselves. We have an advocate who's on our side, defending us, helping us, encouraging us, and motivating us along the way. Help us, Lord, we ask. In that precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said, amen. My final thought is this, though, as you're just, as our closers come, that one of the aspects about walking in the light and staying in light is being around people of like kind. If you want to walk in the light, be around people who like the light. If you want to walk in darkness, be around people who walk in darkness. The idea of small groups that we're gonna offer today is that you be around people who like the light, who enjoy the light and want to grow in the light and cause us to be more light dwellers and able to stand stronger. We need one another. We need each other to stand strong. Get involved in one. And maybe you're going, well, I don't need help. Somebody in that group maybe needs you. So maybe do it because God's asking you to stand in the gap for somebody else. Amen. God bless you guys. Let me say this. I really love you guys so much. I always consider it a privilege to be able to get up here on a Sunday morning and address you and talk to you. And I thank you and I bless you for your willingness to hear and listen. Your willingness to challenge what does the Word say? To go out and accomplish what God has asked you to do. I love you guys. God bless you.